Hey, welcome back to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. The date today for us is Sunday, August the 2nd, 2015. And we're back after a two-week break. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. I'm doing good, Trevor. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good. It's good to have you back. And, you know, we're still waiting on our other guests that we're supposed to have with us. You know, we've been talking to them and they've been saying, yeah, we're going to come join you guys. But for some reason, they just haven't been able to make it out. So it's just you and me again. But, folks, we're glad to have you along, and we're glad that you gave us some good response and feedback to the first episode, and we're hoping to just keep getting better and better. So, in today's episode, let's just run down what we're going to be going down with today. We're starting off with, we're going to look at the series and how they went from post-All-Star break until today, and then we're going to talk about the best performers and the worst performances of the week. We're going to talk about where Wada went wrong, and then I want to go into a little bit of something special where we talk about this Egoshi guy, because Taiga Egoshi's gotten a lot of press lately, especially in the Kansai area, so we'll talk about who he is and what we think he's going to do from here on in, and then we're going to look at another big issue, which is who should the number 5 and 6 starters for the Tigers be, and finally we're going to go into predicting what's going to happen this coming week with the Tigers. So, that's today's show. I hope you stick around from start to finish, and we're going to have a great time. So, here we go. All right, Mike. So, we're going to first look back on all these series that we've had in the last 2 weeks, and we're going to start with the big three series set against the Giants. Did you catch any of those games, or do you remember any of them?
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been almost 2 weeks, you know, and I did catch two of the Tokyo, I did catch two of the Giant games.
Yeah. So here's what happened. In the first game, it was Monday, the 20th of July, and we faced a pitcher named Miles Michaelis for the Giants, and he absolutely shut us down. We ended up losing that game 2-0. Our starter for that game was Iwata, and he gave up a run in the first inning on 2 hits. And then in the 9th inning, it wasn't him, but rather it was Saiuchi who gave up. Pardon me, it wasn't him. It was Takamiya who gave up a home run in the 9th inning. And we ended up losing that game 2-0. Now, the key play that resulted in that home run at the end was Chono, who is one of the Giants' old veteran hitters, hit a pop foul to Gomez. And it was really windy, or so I hear, and Gomez dropped it. It gave Chono another chance, and he took, I think it was the next pitch, over the fence, 2-0, and that was the final nail in the coffin for the Tigers in game one of that series. Game two, then, the Tigers ended up taking 2-1. We started Messenger in that one. We love Messenger on this show, and he put on a show for us. He threw 8 shutout innings, 129 pitches, and limited them to 6 hits. Only struck out 2 guys, but, you know, strikeouts aren't everything, and especially with the new improved Messenger, it's definitely not always everything, but he was beyond efficient in that game. And we got our 2 runs in the 6th inning when their starter, Sugiuchi, finally showed a few cracks in his armor, and Matt Merton hit a deep ball that was just a few feet away from clearing the wall and left, and he got 2 RBIs, and we got 2 runs there. And then your boy, Sunghwan Oh, ended up giving up 1 run in the 9th inning, but we still won that one 2-1. Did you watch that game? Did you catch that?
No, I think that's the game I missed. The first one where I saw Michaelis just shut us down, that was, you know, ho-hum, hands in the air. The second one, I had to read about it, saw the highlights. You know, it was really good because when I saw Merton's hit, I thought for sure that was a home run. And, you know, the guy just hit the wall and a hard hit, you know, dropped the ball. So we won how we had to win that game.
Yeah, for sure. And yet at the same time, I mean, that was our 1 run-producing hit in the whole game. And the game before, we got shut out. So it was still kind of looking like, you know what, our offense, our bats are really struggling. And so I was really concerned going into game 3 because we were facing a guy named Poreda. I forget his first name. He's the Giants' other foreign pitcher. And he had an excellent record against the Tigers to this point. I think he was 4-0 in 4 starts against the Tigers. So I was a little bit concerned. But your other boy, man, you got a lot of guys that you like, but not Toritani, but Arai, came through big time in the first inning of that game. I don't know if you remember that, but he cleared the bases with a double over the center fielder's head. And to me, on that particular play, it looked like the center fielder could have caught it if he'd run a little bit harder. It looked like he was kind of hot-dogging it a little bit, and he jumped up to try and make like a cutesy catch, and it looked like, you know, it just missed his glove. It went a little bit beyond him, but, you know, maybe I just saw it wrong. But so we got three runs there, and then also Egoshi hit a home run in the sixth inning, and a legend was born. From there, Egoshi kind of took off for a while, and we'll talk a little bit more about him later, but that was his big first home run after the All-Star break. So four runs for us, and our starter that day was Nomi, and he pitched six effective innings, 95 pitches, which is not bad for him. Six hits, three walks, allowed one run, and then Ando allowed the other run. But that was it. O came in and pitched his first clean inning in a long time, got the save. And yeah, so we took two out of three from the Giants. Any impressions overall about that series?
You know, we fought to the end. You know, that was a good thing. And you're right. I can't think of that, the Giants pitcher either. Pedrosa, right? Something like that?
Pareda.
Yeah. When I was watching that game, he just looked tired, man. He looked exhausted. Maybe it's the heat in Osaka. I don't know what it is, but he just looked exhausted and tired. So the good thing with Arai hitting that ball, I think the center fielder, I played center field a couple times, and it's hard to judge. So, you know, luckily the ball was over his head.
Yeah.
We got our runs. We were good. Ando, he's kind of good one day, bad the next.
yes.
You know, and it showed a little bit. But, you know, either way, the Tigers fought to the end. I've said it before the All-Star break is these guys fight. These guys fight to the end. And, you know, this is just one of those games where they came back and won it without, you know, giving up.
Yeah, for sure. So you were saying about Pareda, he looked tired. And actually, he ended up leaving the game after four innings and just 71 pitches. And it's not like, you know, he was pitching really badly when he left, because he did really poorly in the first inning, obviously. And in the second, he was clean. Third, he was okay. And the fourth, he allowed two hits. But it's not like he was getting really, you know, hit really hard. I mean, you know, the last two hits were singles. In fact, the very last one was an infield single. But he left early. So anyways, maybe he was gassed. Maybe, you know, maybe he had a sore arm or something like that. But so that's it for the Giants series. Let's move on to the Bay Stars series now. I was able to take in the first game live. I went to the Friday night game. And our young ace, Fujinami, was the starter. And he pitched nine innings of shutout ball. We ended up winning 3-0. And we got two out of those three runs on another Egoshi home run. Egoshi became the first rookie Tiger in 35 years to hit home runs in back-to-back games, so that's pretty impressive. And Fujinami threw 152 pitches to get his shutout, which I thought was excessive. Now, sitting with my friend at the game, and around the fourth inning, I was going, man, Fujinami's pitch count is high. I'd like to see him go seven, but it'd be lucky to see him go six. And they just kept trotting him out, and he ended up with 12 strikeouts. And in fact, in the last inning, he ended up giving up a couple hits and getting in a bit of danger. He allowed a hit to Tsutsugo, he struck out Lopez, and he allowed a hit to Baldiris, and it was looking pretty bad, but then he got a strikeout and a fly ball or a line drive to right field to end the game. But it was kind of nerve-wracking at the end, and I kind of thought they really overdid it with Fujinami. That was the big thing that I got out of that game, was what are they doing? You know, they've got a three-run lead. They've got a closer who's, well, for better or for worse, he's capable. He's someone that they count on, you know, and you don't want to wear out your ace, but they did. And in fact, we're going to see this in a little bit, but it kind of came back to haunt them in the next time that Fujinami started. So that was game one. We got three runs. We won 3-0. The next game, we brought in young Iwazaki, second-year pitcher. And typical to what he's been doing, he'll start real strong, as he did in this one. He went four clean innings, you know, not allowing more than a hit in an inning. He actually allowed two hits through four innings, and then in the fifth, he came apart. The Bay Stars ended up getting five hits and four runs, and that was it. He was knocked out of the game. We ended up losing 5-2. We had a 2-0 lead, and again, that 2-0 lead came off of a sacrifice fly by Gomez and a double by Merton. But that went all for naught. And then after the third inning, the Tigers got one hit the rest of the way. One base runner. So how's that for hitting support or support for your pitchers? They ended up losing that one 5-2. And then the third game of the series, again, they came back and they took the third game, fortunately. So they went 2-for-3 against the Giants and then 2-for-3 against the Bay Stars. In this one, we saw Messenger starting, and he was starting on short rest, so they only kept him in for 7 innings. He went 97 pitches, but allowed five hits, no runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. The guy was money, and your boy O came in and picked up the save. It was actually a 4-out save this time because Fukuhara got in some trouble in the 8th. So O bailed him out, and then he pitched a clean 9th. It was pretty nice to see. And the Tigers got their runs in the second inning with a Toritani single, and then in the 5th inning with an Egoshi single as well to left. I think they got 2 runs on that one. So, pretty good game. Did you catch any games in that series, Mike?
I don't think I saw any. I don't think I saw the Bay Star game. Actually, I saw the one where Fukuhara. I don't know. I don't know what Fukuhara did. I don't know if he just decided to go out there and walk everyone with the bases loaded and give up. Oh, that was terrible. That was a terrible moment because I said, there's no way this is happening. And, you know, nightmares of the game where we're up 8-0 and it's 8-8. And I felt bad for Messenger, another strong game. And it's like, oh my goodness, no. And then O came in, shut it down 1-2-3-4. And that was probably the only game I believe I've seen, during that time, actually, and I was upset that they kept Fujinami in that long.
On the Friday game, yeah.
That I was looking and you know, 150 pitches. I mean, I can understand maybe getting a new guy saying, "Hey, you're the new guy. Let's get you used to, you know, throwing that many." Oh, that's too much for a rookie that you're trying to keep out there for the long run. You know, keep with the team, I should say, for the long run.
So the thing with the Japanese game is they really tend to look at it a little bit differently than the Americans, where in the majors, you know, 120 pitches is pushing it, and usually you're pulling guys after 100, and you know, you're trotting guys out every 5 games, right? Or it's a 5-guy rotation in America, whereas in Japan it's a 6-guy rotation. And so I think even the pitchers have kind of bought into this philosophy, and I'm not going to make any judgment call on who's right and who's wrong, but you know, Yu Darvish himself said when he got to America, he said, "You know what? I can go out there and throw 120, 130 pitches. Don't worry about that. Just give me that extra day off." So he buys into the Japanese way, and maybe that's because that's how he was groomed. But that's kind of the thinking with Fujinami as well, is that, you know, we're not going to use you again for another week. So, you know, we can tire you out a little bit more because you're going to get that extra day of rest. Now, for better or for worse, that's the way they do things. And I still think 152 is way too excessive. I'm with you on that, Mike, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I had a guy, I mean, we've seen Fujinami, and we've seen him do some great pitching out there. You know, and looking at America, where, you know, you have a lot of great pitchers, you know, you keep them in too long and you wear them down. Eventually, their great, you know, 8-year career or 10-year career drops all the way down to 3 years because they get surgeries or some kind of injuries, their elbows and shoulders. You know, so he's young. He's going to recover probably a little bit faster than, you know, maybe somebody of, you know, like Fukudome's age if he was a pitcher. But still, you know, we just got to be patient with him.
You know, Mike, we could look at the history of, you know, these Japanese pitchers that have gone over to America. And I mean, I won't go over the full list, but if you look at kind of the big 3 recent guys that have gone over to America, you've got Daisuke Matsuzaka, Yu Darvish, and Masahiro Tanaka. And all 3 of these guys have suffered some major arm injuries and had some major surgeries because, perhaps, of overwork before they moved overseas. So, you know, it's definitely something that's up for debate and needs to be talked about a little bit more. And maybe they need to revamp the way they care for their pitchers here, but it's the way they do things. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about this past week because, you know, we don't want to drag out our summaries for too long here. But we're going to look at the 2-game set that we played against the Dragons in Nagoya. Now, interestingly, we tend to have a hard time in Nagoya. Whenever we go out there on the road, we tend to score very few runs, even fewer than usual, and also we tend to lose a lot of close games. But we went in on Tuesday, and Iwata started for us, and actually he didn't have his best outing. He actually ended up with a line of just under six innings. He went up at 5 2/3, allowed 4 earned runs. But if you remember, I think I'm pretty sure you're watching, because I think we were chatting about this during the game, the big third inning that the Tigers had. The big, big third inning. You know, we're talking six runs. We had six hits, two walks. We went through the whole batting order. You know, we had Merton with RBI, Fukudome with RBI, Uemoto with an RBI. You know, we had Egoshi start the whole thing with a walk, and actually he ended up getting an RBI at the end of the set as well. So we got the six runs there, and that was all we needed, because after that, even though the Dragons mounted a bit of a comeback, it wasn't enough. So that was a pretty fun game to watch. And then the next game, we came out and we ended up actually taking game two of that series as well against the Dragons. Nomi came in and pitched it, and he, again, just went seven innings. It seems like they're using him a bit more sparingly. He still didn't reach 100 pitches in this one either, but he allowed just two runs on seven hits and one walk. And we ended up getting runs when we needed at the end. So Nomi did not factor into the decision for the first time this season. He was neither the winner or loser, because the hero of the week's Egoshi hit us a home run in the seventh, and then he hit the game-winning RBI in the top of the ninth after Merton walked. So we ended up taking that one 3-2 as well. Any impressions on those two games in the Dome in Nagoya?
I'll tell you, that first game, when I sat there and watched them score six runs in one inning, I could tell you how many games where we couldn't even score three runs, and they scored six in one inning. Hitting, I mean, it was just nonstop. I mean, I'm not saying the pitcher was bad. I don't know, maybe he was.
He must have been.
Oh, my goodness. It was just one after another, and it was so great. And I even put, that's the greatest inning I have ever seen us play, you know, since I've started watching Henshin constantly. And it's just amazing. It just shows us this team, when they get on a roll, they're tough to stop. And it was just an amazing game. So, you know, the first game, obviously the beginning was the highlight. Everybody did their part. I think the only downside was like a Gomez pop-up. You know, everything else was just good, solid contact and getting good hits. The second game, I don't think I was able to watch that game at all. But either way, we came away with two wins, where we have a history of not getting really that many wins. So that's pretty good for this team.
Right, yeah. And actually, at the end of that series then, we were in first place in the Central. Or actually, we were tied for first. And then the next day, we had the day off. The Swallows played Hiroshima and ended up losing. And then we ended up with a half-game lead on the Swallows for first place. So it was pretty exciting to see the Tigers in first again. And then now we're finally getting to this last series, which just ended about an hour ago. So we're going to talk about the series, the final home series before the Road of Death against the Swallows at Koshien, started Friday night. And this one started with a boom in the wrong way for us. Our starter, our ace, and the guy that went 152 last game, let's remember that, Shintaro Fujinami, came out and proceeded to allow a walk, a hit. Then he got a strikeout, then he allowed a hit, then a grounder, and then another hit. So when all was said and done, four runs in the first inning, and the Tigers were down big time, and it was looking really bad for them. However, for me, this game was probably my favorite game to watch all year so far, because despite the 4-0 deficit, in the second inning we came back with a run. Tsuruoka's single. He ended up knocking Merton in at that point. And then in the fourth inning, the Swallows came back with two more runs, actually knocked Fujinami out of the game. So his final line, 3 2/3 innings, six earned runs. Easily his worst game of the year. So we're down 6-1 going into the bottom of the third inning, and things are looking terrible. But that's when things started to turn around, because it started with Gomez walk. And then Merton came up to the plate. And to me, this was probably the key of the game right here. And I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but it was a 3-0 count to Merton. And I'm thinking, okay, if he can get on base, you know, we got two guys on base, it gives us a chance. Next pitch comes in. It was a little bit outside and high, and Merton thought it was a ball, and I thought it was a ball. And Merton threw his bat and started to walk towards first, and then the umpire called it a strike. And you know Merton. You know, at times he gets a little heated, or, you know, things kind of tend to shake him a little bit, or he tends to snap. But he picked up his bat and went back in. The pitcher threw another one, and this one was a little bit low, and I thought, okay, ball four. Nope, strike two. And I was like, oh, if Merton strikes out or hits into a double play here, it could be ugly. There could be an ejection. But what does he do? He cracks the next pitch over the left field wall. Actually cleared it by quite a bit. Hit a two-run home run. So now all of a sudden, instead of 6-1, it's 6-3. Next guy coming up is your boy Arai. And he cracks one over the center field wall. So now it's 6-4. Things are looking great. And he's like, okay, here we go. This could be the start of something amazing. And in fact, I think that was the end of the fireworks for that. No, that wasn't the end. We got one more run in that inning on an error. Toritani's grounded to second was poorly fielded. Well, it was fielded okay. It was thrown poorly to first base, and Egoshi ended up scoring all the way from second on that. So 6-5 going into the fifth inning. And you remember the rest, right, Mike? We were just talking about this before the recording, how before we knew it, it was tied 7-7, right? Fukudome hit an RBI single, and then Gomez in a bases-loaded situation took a pitch off the hands, brought in the leading run at the time, and then Merton followed that up with another two RBI single. So it's 10-7 heading into the top of the ninth all of a sudden. And O came in and added some dramatics, right? He ended up, he got two outs, and then he allowed back-to-back doubles, and then he walked a guy. So the winning run was coming to the plate, but he shut it down with a grounder to second. And that was the end of the game. Tigers win 10-8. That was the game of the week, if you ask me.
Yeah, that was a good game. I turned it on. I was in the, you know, the hotel. Like I said, this is my wedding anniversary day. So, you know, my wife and daughter go down to the hot tubs, and I'm just in the room, and it's 7-5. I'm like, oh my goodness, here we go. And before you know it, it's 7-6 and 7-7. Then Gomez got hit, and they questioned the hit.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
wait,
right,
whoa,
that's
hold
right.
on. You know, did you get hit on the hand? And of course, before that, Gomez had the questionable check swing call.
Yeah, that was pretty bogus too.
That was bogus. So I said, okay, this is karma. And so that would, you know, of course, the umpire's like, yep, you got hit. Get the first base. There's 8-7. And so it was good to see us actually recover. And the biggest thing was we came back from a 4-0 deficit to win that game. It was, you could see the determination was there. I mean, I think the team just got kind of fed up, was like, you know what, forget this. We got to win this game. And that's what they ended up doing in the end. And it was a great victory. You know, oh, that's my buddy. I gotta support. Oh, he always adds dramatics to it, but he always remains disciplined. He stays focused, and it doesn't seem like a lot bothers him, but he's able to at least shut it down.
Yeah. He's pretty unfazed. In fact, like back in June, when he allowed that big grand slam, you know, he came back the next day and shut him down, and he was fine after that. So it seems like things really don't faze him, which is excellent. Definitely. You know, it's interesting, and I don't want to get into a lot of detail here, but Fujinami seems to get a lot more run support than the other guys. I don't know what it is. He gets a lot of run support, and also it seems like his he gets a lot of unearned runs. If you look at the stats, and I can't pull them up right now, but he gets a lot more unearned runs than the other guys. And so I wonder if the scorekeepers are in his favor as well, and they just charge a lot more errors, or if the guys are more nervous, or I don't know what it is. But anyways, funny thing about Fujinami. So despite his disaster of a start, he still didn't get tagged with a loss. So good for him and good for the Tigers. But we're going to move on to games 2 and 3 of this series. So yesterday, Messenger took to the mound, and he started shaky too. Not as bad as Fujinami, but he allowed a couple singles and then a sacrifice fly. So that was his first out of the game, but it also resulted in the first run of the game. And he settled in, and that was the end of that inning. He allowed one more hit, but no more runs. And then he allowed a two-run bomb in the third. And then after that, he was pretty much completely clean until the end of his time on the mound. In fact, After the home run, he walked a guy. Then he had another walk in the sixth, and then a fluky double in the seventh. Actually, it was a ground ball that went off his own glove and ended up dribbling into right field. But that was it. Those were the only base runners he allowed after that. So he really clamped down and gave the team a chance to win. And unfortunately, there was no real response from the team. There was just the one run, which was scored in the third inning on a Gomez single. And beyond the third inning, in fact, the Tigers only recorded three hits and no walks. So the final score in that one was 4-1, and I really don't have a whole lot to say about that game other than poor Messenger again for not getting run support. And it's just too bad, but sometimes that happens even to the great pitchers. Just happens sometimes more to some than others, I guess.
I'm getting sick of seeing Messenger get up on the mound. Because every time I see him get on the mound, I'm like, it's a W. I'm not even worried about the game. You know, unless we blow it defensively where, you know, hey, a simple ground ball. Oh, nope. You know, Bill Buckner between my legs, you know, and that kind of defensive explosion. But implosion, I should say. But I'm really getting hurt with him getting on the mound. He's our ace. He's going to destroy the team. He's just going to take that other team down. That's what he does. And then he's in the bench area and he's sitting there relaxing and he watches the teams, you know, pitch down the middle, terrible swings, pop-ups. And he's just like, can I get some run support here, guys? And nobody answers.
You know, I feel bad when the cameras always zoom in on the pitcher after he's left the mound and they just show his facial expression because it's usually not a very good one with him. And it's not his fault. I'm not saying like he needs to smile more. I'm saying, you know, he's got nothing to smile about after he leaves the game because the team very seldom bails him out, which is kind of too bad. But anyways, I don't want to dwell on that too long. Let's wrap up today's game and then let's get into some talk about some stuff, some issues. So today's game, actually, I missed it, unfortunately. But we put Iwasaki on the mound, and after last game and his implosion in the fifth inning, I was a little bit scared. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? You got to roll with somebody here. And he came out and pitched a really strong first six innings. Like I said, I missed the game, but I'm just looking at the box score here. It looks like he allowed two singles in through six innings, no walks. So he did an incredible job. And then, unfortunately, he had a bad inning, and it wasn't terrible, but it was bad enough. He allowed two runs in the seventh off two singles and a triple, and then he got pulled. And then the relief came in and did what the relief does worse, right? It looks like Ando and Fukuhara came in and made a mess of things. And so the final score was 5-0. As for our Tigers, it looks like our best chance was in the first where we had two hits and a walk. So we must have had... Did we have bases loaded, Mike? Did you catch that?
No, I actually caught it in the fifth inning, I believe. Fifth or sixth inning is when I saw Iwasaki pitching. And I looked... And from what I remember the first outing to now, I was like, this guy's good. This guy's actually... He learned his lesson. I think he got bashed enough to where he could make improvements, and he certainly showed it. But... I it was okay until he gave up the, I think the walk and the triple, you know, so there goes
that. So the thing with him is, you know, like, I was talking to somebody else who said the same thing last game. They said, as they were watching, they said, hey, this guy seems to have learned his lesson. He's really good, but he always has that one inning, and he's done this now in five or maybe six of his seven starts this year where he can't get through his final inning. And that, to me, is the difference between a pitcher who's good and a pitcher who's not good enough yet, is that if you can finish your final inning and if you can step off the mound on your terms or after you've accomplished your job, you're good. But, you know, five or six out of seven times now, he hasn't done that. So I'm not questioning, you know, the job that he did in the first six innings today. And, you know, in fact, I'm happy that he did as good a job as he did. But... thing is, you got to be able to finish what you started. And even when that doesn't mean a complete game, it should be a complete inning. You should not, as a starter, ever be happy stepping down, you know, midway through an inning. And that's what happened to him today. So I hope he can turn it around, and I really hope, you know, in fact, you know what? We can even make the transition now and start talking about the fifth and sixth pitchers, starting pitchers for the Tigers. But, you know, I hope he can become one of them. So, okay, we'll make the transition now, Mike, just for this, just for, because it's presented itself well. One of the things that the Tigers really need to work on, in my opinion, and I think everyone will agree with me, is we need those fifth and sixth starters for our team. Okay, we've got our big four, Messenger and Fujinami and Iwata and Nomi, and they're not going to be perfect every time, but they're consistent enough that the Tigers can count on them to deliver. You know, they'll put in their six, seven, eight, or nine innings, and they'll keep the score relatively low most of the time they go out there. It's the other two slots that where we need help. And let's just stick with the assumption that it's Japanese ball, so we're going to go with six starters. So we're not going to propose like a five-starter rotation because they're not going to do it. But we've got 6 weeks in a row now where we're playing six games. So we kind of need a fifth and sixth starter. We've had a few weeks where with the All-Star break, with interleague play, and just with mini, you know, two-game series where we've been able to shorten the rotation, but we can't do it now. So my question to you is, who do you suggest they use for their fifth and sixth starters? Have you got any thoughts or any ideas?
Well, when we had a losing streak going on, I think it was in June, we brought in a kid named Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. And we were on a skid. And the next thing you know, this kid comes in there and he just delivers. He got us out of that slump. And I will remember that because I have a coworker. Her last name is Yamamoto. And I said, wow, in order for the Tigers to stop losing, they had to bring in a Yamamoto. And we won. And so we kind of giggled about it because I said, she's good luck. So, you know, he had a good outing. I think he was the hero of the game. So I would put my trust into that kid, bring him back here and see what he does. I also remember Yokoyama, but I think the last time I remember Yokoyama, he died on the mound. Just was not effective at all. So I would like to see Yamamoto. Iwazaki, I mean, he's not, you know what, if we were up five to one and he kind of had a two or three run inning and he made it out of there, I think he'd still be a good pitcher to have around. Unfortunately, 0-0 and there it goes. So I don't know. Let's give him one more chance and see what he does, you know, and Yamamoto, Fujinami, Iwazaki, they're pretty young guys. I think they could stabilize the rotation. I mean, Iwazaki's not absolutely horrible. You know, two games in a row, he's kind of 1-1. Other than them three, there's a face in my head. I just can't remember the name, but I think that's who I would go with on top of obviously the four that we already got.
Right.
So I'd go with Yamamoto and Iwazaki again, see what happens.
Yamamoto, Iwazaki. It sounds good. You know, I can't really disagree with you on either of those choices. In fact, Iwazaki last year, he was our sixth round pick in the 2013 draft. And last year as a rookie, he won five games, which is pretty impressive for someone drafted as low as he was. And, you know, like you said, he has shown the ability to get guys out and to pitch effectively for a certain amount of time. So I'm not opposed to having him in as a fifth or sixth starter, but I'm going to stick to what I said on my blog and say that maybe he should be a long reliever instead. And so I'm going to cast him out of the starting rotation for the sake of argument here. And I'm going to stick with Yamamoto like you. I think he deserves another shot. And you're right, he was the one that was pitching when they ended their – there was a four-game losing streak that started on June 30th and ended on July 4th. So that's another reason you can remember it. He won on Independence Day. Anyways, so Yamamoto's good. And then also, I would like to see them give Iwasada another try. And that's another rookie. He was actually, I think, their first pick in the 2013 draft. And he's had a few spot starts this year, but I really don't feel like they've given him enough of a chance to get any momentum going. He might have pitched twice in succession. As in, like, he might have stayed in the rotation for two turns once, but that's it. Other than that, he's just had one-shot deals, and I don't think that's really fair to him because he has had a couple good outings. So I'd like to go with Iwasada and Yamamoto, And if either of them flounders, maybe Akiyama. But I'm going to say Iwazaki might be a good, solid fifth starter for 2016. Or he might even be a replacement for Nomi for 2016, because I could actually see them phasing him out of the rotation eventually. If not 2016, then definitely 2017. So that's my take on the starting rotation. Any comments, Mike?
No, I actually forgot about Iwasada, to be honest with you. I'd have to go back and actually watch video of that guy to see how good he was or what flaws he had. But anybody on top of what we already have, it can't hurt us. It can only help us. So I'm good with either lineup we have.
Yeah. You know, the nice thing is we do have those the big four. And so that gives us a good chance to win pretty much any series. You know, if these three-game series, we're going to be bringing two of our big four, right? So we got a chance to win almost any series that we go into. And also, that's going to be good come playoff time, because we might be able to shorten the rotation in the playoffs, right, if we make it there. So we've got four dependable starters, which I really like.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, Messenger's money. I say it all the time. Nomi's good. Iwata kind of worries me a little bit. Every time I see him on the mound, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm traumatized when I went on my birthday to watch him pitch and he just was, you know, fish out of water.
Yeah.
You know, it's just terrible to watch him. And Fujinami, I mean, you know, but Iwata has signs of playing really well. So,
okay, in all fairness, though, Mike, like, you saw him on your birthday, happy birthday, or happy belated, by the way, but you saw him against the SoftBank Hawks, who are the best offensive team in baseball. You know, maybe even better than any major league team, and I don't mean that they would beat the major league teams, but as far as their dominance goes, this is a dominant team, and so you saw the best of the best against Iwata. So, anyways, you know, I've seen Iwata start twice this year, and he was really good in both games. He pitched a complete game shutout in the one, and he would have won the second one were it not for the big grand slam that O gave up. But anyways, yeah, that's that. So yeah, we got the big four, and that's really exciting going forward. Honestly, if the Tigers can make it into the playoffs, I think we've got a good chance against any team out there. Okay, actually, we're running a little bit long here, so I'm going to skip over the week's top performers and biggest slumpers because... you know, if you watch the games, if you're paying attention, you probably already know that. But I do want to talk a little bit about Egoshi, and then after that, we're gonna talk about our Wada screw up of the week, and then we'll end things off by choosing our predictions. So Egoshi, by the way, I'll just kind of give a little introduction to people that maybe don't know who he is. He was our 2014 third round pick. In fact, he was the first fielder that we chose in that draft, and he was coming out of Komisawa University, and you know, he plays the outfield. He's a, you know, he's a fairly tall guy. He hits for decent power. He's got decent speed, and he also, you know, lays claim to having good fielding ability as well. And he's been up and down from the farm team to the big team all season. This is his fourth trip up to the big team, and it looks like he's staying around this time. And in the first three trips up, he did not very much. He didn't get a lot of playing time. And when he did get to bat, he didn't look very good up there. Of course, this is coming after he had a really solid spring training, and he really wooed a lot of people, so a lot of people had their eyes on him. But he just... couldn't get enough playing time and couldn't get anything going. And then suddenly, like we said, in the third game against the Giants, he hit a home run. In the first game against the Bay Stars, he hit a home run. And then against the Dragons, again, he hit a home run and the game-winning double in the second game of that series. So Egoshi fever kind of hit the Kansai area. And I know you're not around here, Mike, but the papers here and all the major websites were all talking about Egoshi and Egoshi this, and you know, he's seeing the ball much clearer, and Wada's given him the green light to just swing for the fences. You know, it doesn't matter if he strikes out. So everything was exciting, and then in this past series against the Swallows, if I'm not mistaken, he did not record a single hit. And I know for sure in game two he struck out three times. Do you remember, Mike? Do you remember seeing him get any hits?
I think he did get a hit when we had the comeback the other night, when we were down you know, 4-0. I want to say he was one of the ones that got a hit. I can't remember if it was an RBI or if he just got a base hit.
Sorry, I just checked. He did not. He didn't get a hit in that game. In that game, I believe he went 0-for-4 with a walk. Then in game two, he went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. And then in today's game, he also went 0-for-4, and I think he struck out just once.
Wow.
Yeah. So he went 0-for-12 with 4 strikeouts, probably more than 4. I think he struck out in the first game as well. Anyways, Aoshi had a really rough series, and, you know, I was listening to a couple Japanese blogs and or podcasts and blogs and stuff, and they were basically saying, well, if we're going to keep Aoshi in the big team, we should basically expect that he's going to get one hit every 3 games, and it's going to be a big hit, and we should just accept that. Well, if that's the case, we're talking about a guy batting 100 for the team, because if you get 10 at-bats in 3 games and you get one hit, that's batting 100. Even if it's a home run, I'm not happy with that. Even if it means this guy's growing as a player or he's gaining experience, I don't think that's good enough. But honestly, I don't think that's all we should expect. I think we should expect more than that from him. But I also don't think that we're going to get more than maybe a 200 hitter the rest of the way. Pitchers are going to figure him out. And I remember listening to Tuesday night's game, I believe it was, against the Dragons. And Yano, who's the former catcher of the Tigers, was the guest play-by-play guy, and he said he's having problems hitting the fastball. Even the hits that he's getting, honestly, in some ways are a little bit lucky, like the pitches that he's catching or that he's waiting on a certain pitch and he's lucky to get that pitch. And he's saying once these pitchers figure out Aoshi, he's going to have to make some adjustments. And I can't help but agree with that opinion. However, I do hope that he hits around 200, and I hope that he can maybe hit another 5 home runs the rest of the way. I think even 5 is a bit generous, but I'd like to see it. What about you? What do you think we've got in store for us with Aoshi the rest of the way, Mike?
Well, with Aoshi, you know, my daughter likes that guy for some odd reason. You know, likes the name, Aoshi.
Yeah.
He's shown that he can hit a homer, which is good because we're going to need those, you know, at some point. Yeah. He can hit the ball, but wow, I'm surprised. 0-for-12 in this series. That's pretty, that's pretty bad. I think it's trying to do too much. He's young. He needs this experience, you know, coming up here. Like I said about Arai a few times, you know, get him some more at bats and I think he'll improve. With this guy, you know, like you said, Aoshi fever all over Kansai. That might have caught up to him. You know, the pressure of, man, we're down 3-0. I got to do something. You know, I got a guy on third. You know, the mental kind of things that where I think he, you know, being young as time goes on, will have to learn how to overcome those things. And I think one time he caught a ball or, you know, he picked up a hit in center field and he threw it in there and you see Fukudome talking to him. You know, and Fukudome mentoring him, you know, those types of things are going to help bring this guy up to that next level and maybe the next Toritani, you know, or, you know, just a hitter who every
maybe
once in a while.
Fukudome?
I don't know about Fukudome because Fukudome is going to be hard to replace. But, you know, at some point he's going to be one of those guys that are going to start to be more consistent when it comes to getting hits. And then sooner or later, he might be that guy. It's like, yeah, I was looking for that one pitch, but now I'm on 2 of your pitches or 3 of your pitches. So any chance he gets up there, he can smack one out the park or hit a triple or something like that.
So that's the thing. I mean, I really think we need to curb our expectations for this year with Aoshi, but maybe, you know, he is the guy of the future that's going to be dependable for 20-plus home runs, which we haven't had from a Japanese hitter on this team for years. And so it'll be nice to have somebody with that power. And you know, we still haven't seen the speed game. He has not tried any stolen bases, but, you know, he looks like he's in good shape. He's pretty slender and he's young. So, you know, maybe next year they'll start running him a little bit more as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Mike. So we're going to look at one more thing here. And I want to talk about the WADA blunder of the week. And I kind of want to make this a regular corner or fixture on the show. The one thing that WADA did this week that I would have done differently or that I thought was absolutely stupid. Now, there's usually a lot to choose from, so it shouldn't be that hard to pick one moment. But I'll go first since I already have mine lined up, and I hope I'm not stealing yours as well. But here's the situation. Now, things worked out. So, WADA doesn't look so bad in this situation. But we're talking about the 10-8 victory game against the Swallows on Friday night. And it's the bottom of the fourth inning, and Matt Merton hit a two-run home run, and then Deota Arai hit a solo home run. We've got two straight bombs. And then Egoshi comes to the plate, and he got walked. And I think maybe, you know, that was where Egoshi's momentum might have died for the rest of the series. Because he flew out to center in his first at-bat, so he got good wood on the bat, and then after that, he kind of floundered. But anyways, he walked, and that's neither here nor there. That's not Wada's, you know, wrong or anything. But the next guy up was Tsuruoka. Tsuruoka is not a power hitter, and he's not a guy that's known for, you know, even having a high average. But there's no outs. The score is 6-4. You've had two home runs, and you've got a runner on first base. You've got all this momentum. The starting pitcher is doing awful. He's rattled. You know, he's allowed two straight bombs, and then he walked a guy. And what does WADA do? Bunt. He bunted Egoshi over to second base. So he basically gave Naruse, who is the starter for the Swallows, a free out and a chance to calm down and say, okay, I'm going to get you through one-third of the inning by being nice. Why? You've got a chance to blow this game open or to tie it up or to bring it closer. And it's only through fortune that they got that one more run to make it 6-5, right? Because there was an error and on Toritani's grounder and Egoshi ended up scoring. Without that error, the bunt was a complete failure. And, of course, we ended up winning the game by two runs. So that one run maybe didn't matter, but it was just an absolute momentum killer, and I have no idea what would possess a manager to call for a sacrifice bunt in that situation. So that, to me, is the WADA blunder of the week. What you got, Mike?
Wow. You know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, what has WADA done? And I just, you know, there's times where the camera, and maybe it's just bad timing for the cameraman. Maybe they just pan over at the wrong times and they catch WADA looking just confused. Like
that's his regular look. No,
it's like they, I think it's when, I want to say it was the Friday game where we had the comeback. Mm-hmm. And, they were going to bring in O, and he just was looking at somebody else and looking at somebody else, and he was saying something. He just looked confused. I'm like, just call in O. I mean, get O in here, you know. But you know, I don't know. Again, bad timing. Maybe he was just trying to conversate about something else. But when I looked at him, and it kind of looked like he said the word O, I was like, ah, man, this guy's lost. But you said bunt, and it mm-hmm. triggered something instantly with me. When we played, I want to say it was the Swallows, the first game, and they had the pitcher with like kind of the Oakley glasses on.
Kato, yeah.
Yeah, they had him there. And they walked, was it Imanati? They walked him to get to Iwata. So they walked the hitter so that they could get to the pitcher. And I was like, wow, okay, I think we had maybe bases loaded, maybe a runner on second. I can't remember the situation. It couldn't have been bases loaded. And instead, I'm like, all right, Iwata's going to get up there. He's not a bad hitter. He gets up there and squared the bunt. And as soon as you said bunt, I was like, I do remember that coming off, because I'm like, let Iwata hit. Let him hit. He might get a base hit, you know, and score a run, but yeah, the more I hear you talking about WADA and bunting and how many times this team bunts, mm-hmm. That's the one thing that drives me nuts. So I think for my blunder this week was, you know, you got to let the pitchers hit. You know, Messenger gets up there. Sure, he's 1-for-32. Big deal. That one hit was important, you know, at the time.
It was an RBI, yep.
Yeah, it was an RBI. And so I'm like, wow, cool. Let these pitchers get up there and hit instead of bunt so much. But just WADA just looks confused to me sometimes, man. And I'm just, this guy, he coaches, right? I mean, he knows what he's doing, hopefully. We've gotten to, you know, this point so far.
I think the bunt is kind of the default call, and I think he definitely lacks creativity in that area. So I don't know if it was you I was talking to or somebody else, but I think sometimes they need to maybe not try the bunt on the first pitch, or just not try it at all once and just maybe let the defense think a little bit. Hey, they're not bunting in this situation. Okay, we can't charge, you know, we can't charge the plate with our first and third baseman for the bunt because it may not come. But they just, they know it's coming, and our percentage on bunts is not good. We're not good at sacrifice bunt, so I really think that needs to change. So anyways, that is the WADA faux pas. And so give it some more thought for next week as you watch the games next week. Look for what WADA is doing wrong, and we'll come back to this again next week with our WADA blunder of the week. But speaking of which, as you know, Mike, August is a big month for Koshien Stadium. The high schoolers invade the place, and so the Tigers are vacated for the whole month. Our next home game at Koshien is going to be August the 30th, I believe, or 29th, around there. We are playing against the Yakult Swallows again. Until then, we're on the road, and we've got two series at Kyocera Dome, so those count as home games, even though it's not our home park. But this coming week, we've got a three set against Hiroshima at Mazda Stadium, and then we've got a three set against Yokohama down in there, in their barn. So what do you think is going to happen, Mike? We got six road games, and obviously, you know, our big four are going to each get one start, and then we'll get two more starts from the spot starters. But what's your prediction? How many wins, how many losses, or what do you think is going to happen?
Well, you already know me. I'm positive, right? So, yeah. I mean, actually, two out of three, a two-game win. I was thinking, wow, we can hit 40 wins. So, and then, of course, tonight happened, last two nights. Mm-hmm. Well, the Carp is this area down here. And, you know, this weekend being in Hiroshima, wearing my Hanshin shirt, I met about four or five different fans. They're Hanshin fans also, so we had high fives going around. So the Carp are tough. I would not underestimate them. And I think at one point this year they beat the crap out of us. So you can't underestimate them. I would think two out of three is good. Because they are a good hitting team. The Bay Stars are another good team, which could take two out of three from us. Boy, I wouldn't hesitate to say two out of three with that one also. So I say out of six games, I think we win four of them.
You're going 4-2, okay? All right.
Yeah, sounds, I'll take that.
Okay. I'm actually going to try something a little bit different. I'm going to actually go opposite and say we're going to go 2-4. And I don't like that. You know, that's not the fan in me speaking. That's the realist, or the false prophet in me. You know, someone that's trying to get something going here where I sound like I know what I'm saying. But, you know, we're starting this road trip, and I know the guys want to get off to a good start, but I just kind of feel like the Bay Stars are starting to pick up their game again. You know, they've gotten a couple of big wins this week. And I was just reading an article in the Hanshin Tigers Monthly Magazine where Kakefu, who is, you know, as you know, a Tigers legend, he was saying that the one lineup that scares him out there is the Yokohama Bay Stars. They've got great bats. And they've got a great stadium for hitting in, and right now the Tigers are not hitting very well. So I fear that maybe when we go to Yokohama, we may end up losing two of three. And with the Carp, like you said, we can't underestimate them, and I just kind of feel like maybe there's some hunger there. And I don't know who they've got lined up for us, but they do have some great starting pitchers, and if we happen to line up badly, like if we end up facing Maeda or Johnson or Kuroda, you know, or two out of those three, we could very easily lose two out of three without, you know, it doesn't really matter how well Messenger pitches or how well anybody pitches. We could end up getting just stoned by them as well. So I'm going to go 2-4. Not that I want it to happen, but that's what I'm looking at. However, on the whole, I think if we can get out of this whole month of August, 500. If we do the month of August at 500, we're looking good. Because September is going to bring us a lot of home games.
Yeah, that's a good... I mean, that's... You know, like I said, I'm a positive guy. The Carp... Boy, I think the Carp fans are more fierce than the Carp themselves. Not to put the team down, I just don't think the Carp are that powerful. I've been here, you know, nine total years, and I've seen one winning season. So The Baystars, you're right. I agree. The Baystars are a very tough team. They're, you know, however, I think we could take one from them. But, you know, 2-4 long term with the month of August being on the road, it's not easy. I think this team's got the determination. I think they're going to realize this month, hey, look, guys, you know what? If we don't do it this month, next month is just a wash, because that's too much to catch up with, especially when Tokyo keeps winning, or, you know, DeNA keeps winning, or, you know, Chunichi may be surprising people, you know, beating those right teams at the right time, you know. So, whew, it's going to be a tough month. It's going to be a very tough month. I think we'll come out of it on top.
Well, interestingly, you know, nobody's running away with the division, and nobody is really playing like they want to take it. And so I think as long as the Tigers can tread water, they'll be okay. I don't really see the Giants going on a big winning streak, especially they've had a couple of big injuries lately, and they've gotten lucky with a lot of walk-off wins lately, so I kind of see them trailing off a little bit. Chunichi is done, man. They're like 13 games under 500 right now, so we don't, you know, they might get hot, but they're not going to take the title. So that really leaves, you know, the Carp, the Bay Stars, and the Swallows, and I think the Swallows are another team that we can't ignore, especially after this past series. But, you know, let's see what happens. Let's hope for a good month, and let's have a good week, Mike, and it's been great chatting with you, but let's wrap things up here for now, and hopefully our listeners have stuck with us to the end. By the way, we've got an email address, so if you have any questions for us or any comments or any feedback, hit us up. The email address is really easy. It's podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Once again, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Hit us up if you got any questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, go Tigers, go. Let's keep cheering them on. Mike, have a great week down in the Hiroshima area.
All right, you do the same up there. Stay cool.
All right, I'll try. Yeah, all right.